Good morning. This podcast is brought to you by Home Theater Solutions. HTS is your local technology expert. Serving Delaware for 16 years, HTS specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call 1-800-690-2029 or visit them at htsav.net. 3, 2, 1. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. Thanks finally. For having me. Finally.
Had to have a coronavirus to finally get you in here.
Well, we had to stop the work sometime. We had to make the time.
Well.
So Corona did it.
It is. I was telling somebody yesterday, I go, this is the wrong time in my life to tell me I can't work because I'm starting to get comfortable with it. I mean, at 50, I'm older than you, obviously, but at 52, I'm like, this is the wrong time for this.
Like, I think I like my job.
Yeah. No. Well, I think I like not going to it. So I'm going to have to, it's probably going to take me a little more to get my gears going. Actually, I've been in the salon cleaning and just documenting it so that I can prove that I actually cleaned the whole place.
We did that a couple weeks ago, too.
Did
spring
you?
Spring slash corona cleaning.
Well, you know, it's funny. As I've been posting pictures and I was writing, you know, I'm not sure. I think I wrote, I'm not sure if I found any virus, but I did find a lot of dry coffee stains. But it's funny. When I type virus, a little corona picture popped up.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
So they have a little corona emoji or whatever it is.
That is hilarious. I know when I cleaned, I found a lot of extra hair.
Yeah.
Where hair didn't belong.
Well, you know, maybe. I'm just a guy. I've never been. I think we can get into it. You used to get on me a little bit about my station and my cleanliness and wiping it down. So, you know, it's a little out of my comfort zone. You know, I clearly keep a clean salon, but you know, to get in the corners,
By the end of the day, we just want to go home.
We just want to go home. Exactly.
That's like not the top of our priority list.
Exactly.
I mean, we're clean, but.
Well, of course.
Not like pull your station out clean.
I wouldn't eat off my floor. I wouldn't put your enchiladas on the floor and eat them.
No, 5-second rule doesn't apply. No.
So listen, I thought it'd be fun to have you on because, first of all, I wanted to say thank you.
Oh, well, thanks for having me.
Well, not that. I just wanted to say thank you. You know, I came into this business, in the hairdressing business, and, you know, you were an inspiration to me.
Oh,
you've always been a great friend to me.
Thank you.
Whenever I've had, I've needed you, you've always been there, you and Matt.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say thank you. You know, when you come into a business like I did I think I was a 40-year-old shampoo boy. And
I remember that.
But I remember standing behind that shampoo bowl and looking at you, Bobby, Shay, all of the people that worked there, and just being really inspired by your work ethics, your determination, I mean, I could talk to you. I'd be like, hey, what's going on? And then all of a sudden your client would come in and boom, it'd be like professional Jess.
You're right.
And I just thought, you know, that's awesome. And so for a guy coming into a business to be surrounded by people like that, it was just, it was very inspiring.
Yeah.
So I just want to say thank you.
Oh, any time. I'm glad I could inspire you.
Yeah. Well,
makes me feel good.
I don't know if you realize that, but you're an inspiration to hairdressers.
Thank you. I mean, I think being off in this time, you have time to reflect and look back and you go through a lot of emotions and you realize, like you said, you make a ton of friends.
Right.
And you miss them.
Yeah.
And well, you miss your coworkers that you used to work for.
Well, and I was telling you a little bit, and this happens a lot. I end up chatting a bit before the podcast. I'm like, shit, this is all good podcast. So, but I was telling you that I've done, you might even be my 150th podcast.
Cool.
For the Rahoba Social, and probably 130 of them were just my friends.
Yeah. See, that's cool. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to get you doing a podcast. I think I see the podcast sparkle
in
your eye.
That's what I said. Morning show.
A morning show. Well, and it is fun. And I, you know, I'm always a guy that likes to just, I try everything, you know, whether it's hair.
Right. Why not?
Yeah. Drones, running, podcasts. And I'm like, I love podcasting. How come I can't do it? And then I'm like, there is no reason. And that's kind of...
Yeah, why not?
That was my whole philosophy when it came into the hair. I was like, why not? I can do this.
Hey, look, my whole thing has always been like, if you don't try it, you'll never know.
Exactly.
Well, if it doesn't work.
Do you want to share a little bit of your story? I mean, I know you from like when I started, but I know like you were up in Pennsylvania. You worked for... And I think this story is going to kind of come around because I think I remember that you worked for a lady that was inspiring to you.
Did. Yeah, Kimberly. And she's still there, and she has another salon down south, and her daughter runs that. And I started working there in high school.
Yeah.
Shampoo girl.
Yeah.
But I give her credit because she taught me so much. She was tough, but it was worth it.
Well, and I think that's where really the worth comes into it, is mm-hmm. if it's tough.
Yeah. It wasn't easy, but it shouldn't be easy.
So you started, did you go right out of high school into cosmetology?
Did. I actually started shampooing in high school.
Okay.
After school, throughout the week, on the weekends, and then I went to beauty school, and I'd go right from beauty school to the salon, change, and then work. And she would work until midnight, 1 a.m, didn't matter. Then right. get up the next day, go to school. I waited tables.
You were a hustler.
I did it all. I was a hustler.
Well, and that's, I think that there is that. I call, you know, I've said that to many people around here. You know, this is the hustler crowd. I mean, you just don't show up, punch in, and just grind through the day. I mean,
right.
You got to hustle it.
You have to hustle it, and you have to put the time in to get out of it what you want.
Right. Well, especially at being like a salon owner.
Right.
I mean, what was that? I mean, because we worked at Bad mm-hmm. Hair together.
Yeah.
Bad Hair Day together. And I've said this thousands of times, you know, I really owe everything I have to Drexel.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's kind of where we all started.
Exactly.
And I think, too, like, if you got us all back together, everybody that's kind of branched out, we'd have, like, one good hell of a salon.
Well, and it's, you know, this is where I start going crazy with different paths. But I want to stick to this one.
Right.
Because, you know, we would go to Bad Hair Day and we would work, and, you know, mm-hmm. we knew it was always going to be there. Drexel
right.
would always have the doors open, and it would be on, you know, on point.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, you know, a true hustler eventually says, listen, I got to branch out.
I want more than this.
Well, whether it's more money or just more,
right.
Just checking out what we're capable of.
That's
right.
You want to see if you can do it on your own.
Right. And what was that like? Because actually the first, we'll talk about, how was it like going into like a small salon? Because you and I kind of like have the little salons now.
Well, you know what? I tend to like it a lot better. I think it's more personal,
yeah.
especially with your clients. And then they'll come and say, gosh, I like this so much better than the big hustle, bustle, crazy. You can't hear yourself think or talk.
Right.
So smaller, I like.
Yeah. And, you know, because I think we've both been down we leave. Bad Hair Day.
Yeah.
Bad Hair Day is a great example.
It is.
Except, you know, Drexel, he can get a little crazy, and I'm sure that I know why.
Oh, absolutely.
There's a lot of turning parts in there.
Yes.
And
we
both adventured into that. I mean, you had a bigger salon, I had a bigger salon, and we're having coffee over, not having, I was making coffee in the salon, and I'm like, I got four chairs.
It's great.
Yeah, and I don't really have mm-hmm. to, you know, doing chair rental. I don't have to really worry about what they're doing.
That's right. They're on their own.
Do you think, would you have tried chair rental? Do you think if you were starting off now, do you think that's a good path for some people?
I think it is if you have the room to do it. I feel like my space is so small, like you too. I don't know if I'd have the room for them to stash their supplies.
Right. Have a little trunk.
Right.
Remember the black toolbox?
I do.
Well,
I do.
What I'm really saying is like, you know, for me, in my path, it was great for me to, and, you know, I guess Drexel was your Kimberly.
Right,
you know?
Absolutely.
I remember Drexel's like, you know, come in, because I was in hair school.
Uh-huh.
He's like, come in on Sundays, do work, charge for the color.
Right.
Don't charge them, do it on your own.
Gosh, I think I remember that, too.
Yeah, and he's like, just make sure they pay for the tube mm-hmm. of color. I remember I cut Matt Haley's hair, and he left looking like Elvis. It's like, I don't know if I keep my hair
like
this.
Got to start somewhere.
Yeah, but... But, you know, it was this, you know, if I wouldn't have had that, I think sometimes you almost have to go through that before you can get to a point where maybe chair rental would be an option. It's just like giving advice to some new person coming up through the
Yeah,
rankings.
No, I agree, because I feel like if you run a chair, you're kind of doing it. It's like having your own space,
right.
just not your own space.
Right. Well, it's definitely good to have somebody in your life that can help you set some good habits.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'm not sure if I would have went from hair school to renting a chair.
I don't think I'd recommend that.
Yeah. Without like having you or a Drexel
sure.
or all the other great hairdressers that I knew that were great examples to me to help set those kind of instill those, you know.
Yeah,
habits.
I totally agree. Yeah. And you always have to work for someone who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
to give you some guidance or get that inspiration before you move out on your own.
Well, and I think as we go along, I mean, really cutting hair and coloring hair is almost the easiest part of it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like, mm-hmm. you know, I look back at Drexel thinking about managing that and managing, bringing in managers to manage that and managing them and managing this.
That
and
didn't always...
No, that was...
That didn't always end well.
Yeah, that was a couple of visits to the 4-month spa where he would go. He would disappear.
We know why.
Yeah, he needed a detox.
I would too.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, as I think of myself now over there cleaning the salon, I mean, it's really my baby.
Mm-hmm. And when it is just you and I, it's small.
Yeah.
It's all on us. But yeah. I don't know, you take pride in that.
Oh,
and
I
like
love
you said, it's your baby. It's your place.
Yep.
Sometimes I have to like take a step back and look and be like, wow, I have my own salon.
Well,
like,
I love coming cool into I love coming by your salon. I'll stop by every couple months and bum something from you, some product.
Yeah, I don't care.
I know, and that's why I do it. But I walk in, I'm like, damn it, this place is so cool.
Oh, thank you.
You got like the cool tchotchke stuff.
I do. I got tchotchkes everywhere.
I'd be like, oh, do I have to dust that?
That's what Elaine and I did like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
We dusted all those tchotchkes.
Tchotchke dust day.
We could have written Urban Studio and a lot of those tchotchkes.
Well, it's funny because I do chair rentals, so I'll have one person that comes, and then she left, and another girl mm-hmm. replaced her. And I had, like, one of each product on the shelf.
Right.
That way, you know, if they want to buy it, they take it, and I'll replace it from the box in the back.
That's
She's
right.
like, I come in one day, she goes, oh, I found all your products. I put them all out for you. I was like, oh, thank you.
Great.
And now I'm looking at, like, all these things, and I'm like, Jesus, now I'm going to have to dust.
Dust all of them.
Dust all of them.
Blow on them.
And then you hit one, and they all fall.
God, it's awful. Or you take one from the front, and you're like, oh, shit, now I got to, like, move them all up
move
and
all
dust
forward.
All around and make them look all neat.
Front my shelf.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Well, listen, it is a fun business. I think we're totally blessed.
I agree.
I think when this all started, I was like, oh, no. No one's going to get their hair done. Everyone's going to color their hair from store color. Nah.
You know what? They want us back.
My grandfather used to tell me the only two businesses that will survive are our hair and funerals. I was like, okay.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
Yeah.
And liquor stores.
Yeah, well, don't get me started.
I know, but it's crazy.
I just had someone, a girl that does massage upstairs, and she's like, I have people who rely on this service to help with their health. I mean,
yeah, I agree.
Older older clients coming in, like she said, this one guy, he's 85, and he just relies on these massages to kind of get him, you know, up and moving.
Yeah.
And, you know, she can't do it. But you can go down and buy a bottle of Jack Daniels.
I know. See, that is what kills me.
As we get older, I mean, the hypocrisy of some things, right?
I know. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, from what I understand, the reasoning was is that there's a lot of alcoholics that would really have a trouble
right.
if we shut them off.
But then you look and there's other states that have closed.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just
well,
doesn't quite
I think
make
they
sense
were closing. I think the difference here is, and this is Delaware actually is the first state that I've lived in where you don't, like in Maryland, you know, you can buy beer and wine
right.
at the grocery store.
Yes.
So I think, and then you have a state store where you can buy the harder stuff.
Right. That's how it is in Pennsylvania too.
And I think they closed the state stores.
Yes.
I think you can buy beer and wine.
Yeah. In the grocery store.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I don't drink. So I'm a terrible person to talk about
There's
it
nothing
with.
Nothing wrong with that.
I personally think they should shut them all down and get rid of alcohol.
Just can it, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Then we'll see people get upset.
They would get ticked. Their hair and their liquor.
Oh, man.
But I said, you know, one thing. I just said this yesterday. One thing that we should all take a step back is, you know, we push our kids so hard when they're young. Like, I mean, I don't do this to Kennedy, but whatever she wants to be when she grows up is great. As long as she does a job that she loves. But I think in today's world, look who's working right now. Look who is missed. The trades are out there working.
Right.
The hairstylists, we're being missed. Like, why not push that for our kids?
Well, I can remember as a kid, my mom used to say, you know, one day you need to get a job and make big bucks.
Yeah.
It was always about big bucks.
Right.
And that fear of not having mm-hmm. it. And I think it comes from a generation that didn't have it.
Maybe, yeah.
And so it was always about the big bucks. So as I grew up, it was always about finding a job that made big bucks.
Yeah.
And I think it was, I don't know when it happened, but at some point I started to redefine that line of happiness.
Yeah.
And the hair business, I mean, listen, take it from you. You can make big bucks.
You can make big bucks.
But you work until like midnight.
I do.
And yeah. I do not make big bucks, but I only work until 3. You know, that's what this business allows,
it,
you know?
It does.
And I can pace out my clients over, 6 months or a year mm-hmm. where they don't really realize that I'm not working. I remember when I first started, I was like, put me on the books 6 days a week, 8 to 8.
Yeah.
And I think that's important because you want to be available.
You're
kind of like a big fishing net.
Yeah. You want to get it all.
Yeah, broad and wide.
That's right.
And
oh,
then,
yeah.
And then as time goes on, the net kind of tightens up a little. And then now I don't even go to work till 10.
And then you kind of get like, oh my God, I don't have a life.
Right.
And that's not fun either.
That's not fun.
No.
And so, you know, we both like to run. As mm-hmm. I've gotten older, some of those things like running
right.
have become very important. And like now I have to have time in the morning to go for a run.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. And you know, that's my stress reliever.
Right.
I need it.
Well, if it's terrible if you're working all the time. You're like, damn it, I wish I could go for a run.
I know.
Have you adjusted your drive a bit?
A little bit. A little small.
Because I drive on the way to taking the kids to school. I think I see your Jeep at work.
And you know what? It's bad when I get text messages like, oh my God, I went to work today, like from friends. I saw you parked there. You're still there. I'm like, yeah, still here, plugging along.
Yeah, that's...
I just sacrifice my sleep and get up.
How old are you now?
Early. Oh, I'll be 40.
Okay. Well, listen, I don't ask that out of embarrassment.
No, I know.
I try to think that, you know, between 40 and 50 is really where, mm-hmm. like, things started to become important or started to understand what's important. I clearly make enough money to survive and live and provide for my family.
Right.
A great life.
Mm-hmm.
I always say it's... the house size.
Because yeah.
I just have a little house. So really, I don't spend a lot of money on houses. It allows me to kind of live that life that we all live. I just live in a little house.
It's okay.
And between 40 and 50 is where I really started mm-hmm. kind of readjusting what was important.
Right.
And I'll be interested to watch and see.
I know. And well, you know, and where we used to work before, I worked a ton more. And then having Kennedy, she kind of helped me kind of curve that. I mean, I still work a lot, but not as much as I did,
yeah.
which is crazy to say. But then when you go through a rough patch in your life,
yeah,
you kind of look back and you're like, you know what? If I want to go to that football game
right,
and I want to take a weekend off, I'm going to do it.
Well, I have noticed you do that a little bit more now.
I do. I love it. And yeah. I don't want to like miss out on something like that.
No, because actually this is really, I think it's important that we're there for our kids.
Right. And I want to give Kennedy those experiences
right.
as well.
Right. Exactly. Well, how old is she now?
She's 10.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I know,
right? We were
right?
just talking about it. I remember
God.
Holding her when you first came back to the salon with the baby and
yes.
with her bow.
With her bow.
Now, she was all bow.
Now she doesn't want any bows.
She's anti-bow.
She is anti-bow. All of them, trash them. Doesn't want them. I'm like, put a bow in that hair.
How about nope. boa? Because I think she had some boas on too.
Nope, none of those either.
Is she a girly girl or is she a daddy's girl?
She's,
or is there a different? I don't know how. Like Teresa loves. She's got ears. She's got bows. She's got a tail. She's all girl.
Kennedy's my free spirit. She's yeah. like the go outside and play in your bare feet. And get dirty. I mean, that's how I was too as a kid.
David asked me the other day, a few days ago, we had a big rainstorm. He's uh-huh. like, do you care if I go for a walk? I go, it's raining. He's like, I know. I go, okay, I guess.
Yeah, go
and
ahead.
And off he went.
Yeah.
He comes back soaking wet.
He didn't care.
He didn't care. But yesterday at 8 o'clock, he goes, we had all that thunder yesterday.
Right.
He's like, can I go for a walk in the rain? I go, No.
No.
Stay inside.
That's right.
What's the matter with you?
That's right.
Oh, gets all upset.
Yeah, she would be the same way. Let me just go outside.
It's just rain.
It doesn't care if it's cold or.
I think I'm evolving into my dad. I think I've evolved into an adult. I don't know when this happened.
It just happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, all of a sudden breakfast is important. You taking a shower is important. Don't get electrocuted by lightning is important.
Oh, yeah. You're like, wow, I sound like my parents.
That's crazy.
It's okay.
So what do you
think? We turned out just fine.
So kind of going back, because I'm actually curious. So when did you, you were working with Kimberly of Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
And then I think, let me see if I know the story. You met Matt.
I did.
And Matt brought you, or you came down here because of Matt.
Well, no, I always came down here on vacation with my family. And then my parents had a seasonal place down here. And I had met Matt the summer before I got hired at Bad Hair Day.
Okay.
So I had gone in and Drexel was standing. He was working. And when I walked in the door, he's like, you have to be a hairstylist. I'm like, I am. So he had his manager at the time give me a tour. And I moved down 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And started, was that at the building across from the new one?
It was. Yeah. And he kind of took a step back at that point when I stopped and gave me a lot of his clients because he wanted to not do hair anymore.
You were his prodigy.
I guess so. And you know what? I still have some of those clients today.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I did 20 years ago.
I loved that salon.
I know.
It was so cool. Remember being downstairs and it's like, and everything would creak as people walked across.
Oh my gosh. Well, going through all these old photos, I found a ton of us in the basement with all those metal racks with all the stuff stacked up on them. And
yeah,
I remember going down there and you would just like hang out and
Eat.
Lay on the floor.
Then someone would come, or they call it, or your client's here, you have to go walk up the stairs.
Buzz down.
And everybody would gather around that computer.
Oh my God, the computer, the refrigerator.
Remember the bucket?
The bucket.
And you know, it's funny because all those things I think about now as a salon owner.
Right.
You know, he's like, what's a stupid bucket? You know, who cares? Clearly you're going to waste a little color. But he would be like, this is how much color we wasted.
My God, he would have that big 5-gallon bucket and all the color would get dumped in it.
Well, and I can remember working at it may have been at your old salon, and being like, damn, wrong color. Oh, well.
Oh, I know.
And put out a new tube and not even think twice.
Not think twice. I did that not too long ago. Grabbed the four. I was talking, wasn't paying attention. Then I'm like, oh, shit. I had to dump the whole thing out. I needed 20, not 40. What was I thinking?
Yeah.
I wasn't. I'm like, oh, man, I just wasted. Yeah, it makes you think twice.
Yeah, especially when you get that credit card bill with that. I had just placed an order for color and everything was getting shut down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just put it on hold. And
right.
And then a couple of days later I called her. I'm like, nah, just send me the order.
Just exactly.
Because I don't know what this is going to be like. I just talked to her yesterday.
Yeah.
And she said a lot of the manufacturers have closed down.
And, you know, I did the same. I placed a small order before all this kind of hit the fan. And now I kind of wish I would have ordered more because who knows what it's going to be like when we go to open back up.
Right. Well, I know I got
color. Don't want to run out because we're going to need it.
Yeah, we're going to need it. And I got some. Don't be asking for any either.
I might just have to. Well, I'll be sleeping at the salon. So,
well, we've talked about this a little bit, and I'm kind of wondering what that's going to be like because I actually have a book of clients.
Yeah.
And now I'm just touching base. In fact, I just talked to a lady and she was supposed to come in on Saturday and, you know, we bumped her back 2 weeks.
Right.
I've just been bumping everybody back 2 weeks.
And, right.
And I wonder if people start like kind of starting to work and we start not paying attention to it a little bit. Like, okay, we see you, but we're not going to say anything.
That's right.
And we just slowly, I'm not saying doing this, I'm just thinking about
thinking,
this.
Right,
but
right.
If, you know, if we started working one at a time, I'm not saying we are, I'm just saying that if we did what, you know, like, I can't imagine like, they fire a starting gun and we're like, go.
And then where the hell do you even begin?
Where do you begin?
And we talked about that the other day, the anxiety of that, it hits you. You and I understand how we feel, but other people I don't think quite get that. It's like, oh my God, what we left how many weeks ago,
yeah,
is still there. It's not still, done.
It's 6 weeks later.
It's
it's doubled.
It has doubled. And now everyone's going to want their hair done first.
Well, and I don't think if every business is going to start up the same.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, you take a salon like Drexel's. I mean, they're going to probably, you know, I don't know how that's going to look. I mean, I don't know if we're going to start with, you know, limiting kind of how, I don't know if we start up kind of the way we slowly shut down, you know,
correct,
with the social distancing.
Yes. 10 people at a time.
10 people at a time. Right. I don't know if it's going to start off like that, where we can only allow no more than 10 people at a time. You know, the bigger salons, you know, I was thinking maybe Drex could do like a half one crew one day, half a crew the next day, so that everybody can still try to, you know, earn a living. But everybody's startup is going to look different.
It's going to be crazy, where you and I might be used to having 2-3 clients sitting at a time. It might just be down to one, which is going to...
That's what I do. That's what you... That's what you do. I do not do that. I do not. In fact, I only do one client at a time. I don't want to talk to any more than 2 people at a time. I struggle with the one conversation. I can't have 3.
Come on, Tom.
Well, you know what? I could do it physically, the work. I become less personable.
Yeah, and...
And
well,
I you're so great.
I don't know what...
You're so great at, like, being a having a... Oh, like, I can just... You're just great at that. Like, I'm still just a 52-year-old man.
And that's okay.
And I'm like, I'm going to go sit over there and just sit.
Like, I'll be back.
Talk. Yeah, I'll be back.
You have 30 minutes. I'll be back.
I'll be back, and I'm going to go huddle somewhere. I'm just not that great. So I can't manage 2 or 3 people at a time. But I do think that when we do get going, it's going to be something like that. Maybe, you know, maybe even 1 or 2, maybe a half hour gap in between.
Yeah,
so
true.
We can wipe everything down.
Right. Maybe the clients have to sacrifice the blow dry at the end. I mean, and they'll just have to understand until we get through this.
Right.
Everybody just has to be patient.
Well, and I think that if we explain and share our thinking and try to... you know, because I think if we aren't flexible, it's going to kind of, like my buddy Carlos says, if we don't all get on board, we're never going to start back up again.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
I like that idea of not having, you know, maybe just not the blow dry. If we're all a little more flexible, maybe.
And you have to start somewhere. Even if you can't dive in full force.
Well, I was watching something yesterday. And they're like, so you want to see hairdressers and nail salons and tattoo salons open up again? And I'm like, why'd you have to name those 3?
I mean, yeah, right. They don't quite all...
We're not all the same.
We're not all the same, no. But
I know we don't... I mean, I can practice social distancing. It's not going to be hard.
No, it's not. And that's one advantage...
I practice it already.
That's one advantage to you and I having a small salon.
Well, that's true.
That is a plus.
Well, it'll be... Did you hear they canceled 4th of July?
No. That's crazy. Hasn't even, like, we're not even in May yet.
I've been told by that by several people. I have not read that in a press release, so don't go moving. But I think they canceled the 4th of July festivities for this year. And what's that going to look like when we open up? See, it's not like we're in the middle of Kansas here.
That's right.
We're at a hotspot, a destination.
And they all come here. And they're still coming here.
What would it be like if they said, all right, we're going to start opening up, but the beaches are closed and hotels are closed?
Right.
What would that be like?
Oh, my gosh. I think it would just kill the economy down here.
It would absolutely kill the economy.
It would. Yeah. It kind of takes you back to, I mean, this summer, I'll be here 21 years. Kind of takes you back to those days and when it was dead in the winter.
Well, what year did you move here? 96?
No, 2000. No, so I've been here for 20 years.
Yeah,
2000.
So I moved here in 94. Mm-hmm. And it was still, I mean, there was a lot of different things, but it was still, it was somewhat busy.
Yeah, it was.
It wasn't like when I came here when I was 15.
Right. I mean, what I remember is things closed early.
Right.
Which they don't do that now.
Well, when I moved here, there was no outlets.
Oh, wow.
There were no outlets. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't a Walmart.
No Walmart.
And there was a lot of things that weren't here. A lot of open spaces.
Yes.
And as the 20, 25 years has gone by, you know, there's a lot that you've been driving by forever, and all of a sudden it's got building going on.
And you're like, what the heck?
What is that? Buy a lot.
I don't know if I like that as much.
Well, I wonder what this place is going to be like in 20 years, like that field, you know.
It's probably going to be gone.
It's going to be gone. And I love the kind of being where I'm at. I used to call this the island of unwanted toys because this is kind of where you got sent because I couldn't afford, you know,
no.
in inland or towards the coast or towards the beach. But there was nothing out here. And now I feel like I'm kind of on the edge of like a lot of.
No, you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got lucky.
I mean, even when I go home, I'm less than 10 minutes from here.
Yeah.
I love it. It's like you get away from all of that.
Well, it used to be like, gotta be in Rehoboth. Let's get into Rehoboth. And I think over the years, whether it's to rent or parking mm-hmm. or whatever it is that I have no involvement in.
Right.
People have gotten a little more upset and you see a lot more businesses going on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hopefully there's some decisions or things are changed that, you know, make it more accessible down there.
Yeah.
We need a parking garage is what we need.
Like multi-level.
Like a tower.
Yeah.
A parking
like
tower.
A high-rise.
Right.
High-rise parking garage.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. It would probably solve a lot of issues.
It would solve some issues.
It would. I mean, we don't even go in town like we used to on a Saturday night.
No.
Not anymore.
No, the parking's really bad.
When I leave work on a Saturday, I'm like, peace out. I'm going home.
Well, and it's funny. As a father with three kids and a wife, we've never really been. There was a point where we would eat out every once in a while, but I'm like, why are we eating out? Because we make the kids eat like the kids' menu, the junkiest food, because
right.
you're not waste.
Yeah,
I'm like, well, I think I'd prefer to cook. You know, so yeah. we for the most part cook.
Right.
Yeah, you know, we might get pizza, mm-hmm. and we might get
sure.
some takeout somewhere, but for the most part, we try to cook.
Yeah.
So, that part hasn't affected us as much. But some of these businesses, like the movies, what's that going to be like?
I don't know. What, are you going to have to sit like every other seat at the movie theater?
Yeah. Well, aren't they streaming movies now?
I think so. We haven't done it, but I saw that you can.
We watched, I think, Frozen 2.
Did you?
Yeah. Not as good.
Yeah, I think Elsa was, she's a witch.
I'm not sure I watched enough of it. I might have dozed off.
Yeah, it's different.
Well, one of the things that's kind of been fun for this, unfortunately, is that a lot of people, you know, we all do what we do, but now that we're not being able to do what we do, we're seeing a lot of other facets of people.
Yeah, you know, do.
This online yoga and online exercise and so many people playing the music, guitars.
Right,
and,
right.
A lot of Zoom meetings.
Lots of Zoom.
Lots of Zoom.
Kennedy's teacher said today they're having a Zoom meeting on Friday.
Yeah. And it's so we're really seeing, can you imagine if this was 20 years ago or even years ago, even 10 years ago?
This wouldn't be happening.
No.
None of it.
It would be a big difference. And I'm not sure. I think maybe some of the things that when this is all said and done, some of the things that we may figure out and do better next time is definitely education mm-hmm. for the children.
Right.
Teachers have even said, listen, this is like going to a war with a rake. You know, it's like we were completely unprepared. And, you know, so it started off a little sketchy, but it's getting better.
Yeah. And I do know one thing. Homeschooling is not my cup of tea. No.
Not my cup of tea.
No.
Me neither. Well, my philosophy has always been, it's your work, you do it, I'm not helping you.
That's right.
And it's worked up until now, but this coronavirus is killing my kids. And I don't mean physically, I mean, physically. They're becoming lazy.
Yes.
Cocky, wise asses.
I know. Well, even today, I'm like, come on, Kennedy, she slept till 10.
Mm.
Uh-huh. Slept till 10. It's like having a teenager on your hands. And I'm like, look it, I have somewhere that I need to be. And we have worked and gotten most of your stuff done, like, ahead of time. I'm like, let's do it so we don't have to do it at the end of the week. I'm like, get up to this table and let's get this work done because I need to get out of here. And it was like, oh, every excuse of why, you know, they can't do it. I'm like, just get it done.
Well, when I was leaving.
Or move over. Let me do it.
Right. Well, when I was leaving, David's playing Minecraft with his friends in this giant Minecraft group. And I'm like, I thought you had French or something. Oh, I'm in study period right now. I'm like, study period, study hall.
Yeah, study hall.
Isn't that for fucking studying?
Yeah, right.
I mean, what? Oh, that's good. It's good, Dad. Everything's fine. I'm like, you know what? I'm leaving. Bye.
Yeah, whatever.
Good luck.
You get to that point, or you get to the point where Kennedy, I left her kind of watch a video on her own. She had to answer a question. I'm like, don't you hit submit until I look to make sure that you did it correctly.
Are you hovering?
No, I'm trying not to.
Are you a hover parent?
You know what I told her today? I'm like, there's no reason you should not be getting like 100% on this stuff.
Right.
Like, get the calculator out. Check those answers.
Well, that's a tough subject right there because my parents were very hovery. I mean, it was a whole production every night.
Yeah.
We had to sit down at the table. Uh-huh. They gathered around as a team, Team Arquino, to get this homework done. And then off I would go to turn it in. And it really backfired for me because I didn't have the drive to do it for myself.
Yeah, no, and I get that because I came from the opposite. Where Robin, my mom was like, you come home from school, you get your schoolwork done. And she would make you sit at the table or you have dinner. We'd eat dinner together and then you'd sit there and do your homework. And it's like, don't ask me until you really don't know the answer or you've tried.
Well, and then you can explain to me why you don't know because either you didn't pay attention or you don't care.
Yeah.
And that's that's kind of how it's always been. David, my older one, that's been my... I don't even check his work.
Right.
I tell him, get your homework done.
And
make sure
just
your homework's
do it.
Done. But I'm not checking it.
Mm-hmm.
Take it to school, get an F, figure it out. Have the conversation with your teacher,
not with
me.
That's right.
Sam is right at this point where... This is where he's going to start to shine, you know? But all of a sudden, now school got closed. So, and then Teresa, she's just like, you know, she's doing homework with ears and a tail. I mean, she's just crazy.
I know. And then Kennedy wants to turn the music on, and she wants to jam out, which is all well and good. And I'm like, look, you and that just doesn't go together.
No.
You need to concentrate, girlfriend.
Right.
And then I end up like, how do you not know that?
Well, and they changed it now, right? Because what we used to do... isn't what they do now.
Well, today I'm like, look it. We're doing decimals, subtracting. We're going to do this the old school way.
Count them over, count them down.
That's right. Yeah. And it's like, we're subtracting money. That's how I was teaching her today.
Right. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense.
What do you think about Kennedy being a hairdresser?
You know, she says every now and then that that's what she wants to do. I've told her forever. I'm like, you need to go be an attorney because you can argue your point for anything.
Well, do you think that that's a fun... I'm sure that's kidding, sort of. But
I know it is.
I don't know. I told my kids, I said, if you want to live in Rehoboth, you guys all need to go to hair school.
Yeah.
If you want to move away and go chase a career, yeah, then you can start at, you know, Del Tech or you know, University of Delaware. But you're not going to Villanova. You're not going to Clemson. You're not going to Harvard. University of Delaware or cosmetology
school. We're staying in state.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to live here...
Mm-hmm.
Go to hair school.
Yeah. No, I think that's good advice.
I wish I would have had like that opportunity when I was that young.
To do that.
Yeah. Instead of starting when I was, you know,
40
or 38 or whatever I did.
That had to be hard.
That was it was like a Seinfeld episode. I'm like, I like animals. I like stars. Do you have a degree in astronomy? No.
No, I don't.
And then and I want to get Kevin on here because Jason and Kevin were big inspirations as well because I remember Drexel goes, you should be a hairdresser. I was like, I'm not gay. He goes, dude, you don't have to be gay. And I go, really? And
no.
He goes, go see Jason and Kevin over at John Lorraine.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, okay. So I went over there, and I remember I walked in, and Jason had like a net shirt on, just net, and like sailing pants. I was like, holy shit, look at this guy.
Were you like, I am not wearing that?
No, but he looked like a rock star. Like he just came off stage or something.
Right.
And Jason and Kevin's hair is like blown out. I was like, holy cow, look at these guys. And they were clearly not gay. And, I go, okay. And they said, you know, Jason's like, come over, hang out, watch what we do. And I did. And I was like, I love it.
I love it.
And
yeah.
I remember telling Diana, I go, I'm going to be a hairdresser. And she goes, Have you always wanted to be a hairdresser?
Like, today I do.
I said, no, but today I do.
Today I do. Yeah.
Jason. Kevin. Were you friends with them?
No. I never met them. No.
Well, Jason passed, unfortunately. Yeah. That was sad. And, yeah. But Kevin's still around. I got to get Kevin in here one day.
Yeah, you'll have to do that. Oh, that's too funny. Don't you think, though, the business has changed so much about even how we look? Like, nobody looks like that anymore.
Well, I never signed up for that look in the first place.
That was You skipped over it.
I remember having a meeting with Drex. Because remember over in Lewis, he said, you know, we used to have to wear all black. And
all
you guys
black.
Were great at it.
All
but
black.
I would wear blue jeans and black.
Uh-huh.
Or you just like black and white.
Just push the envelope a little bit.
Stripes.
Yeah.
And he's like, he took me in the office. He goes, why don't you go work somewhere else?
Oh.
And I go, because you don't follow the rules. You don't dress like I ask you to dress. And I go, if you want to fire me, you can.
Right.
But I'm not leaving. And I tried to, in fact, and then me and Karen Smith went to Dover, I think to Neiman Marcus to go buy some clothes.
That's funny.
And she's like, okay, you can wear this. You can wear this. This is fine. And I remember finally, but you know, at the time, I think I was like, I was a little unhappy with my weight. And you know, that's one of the tough parts about dressing up is that you want to feel.
Yeah, you don't feel good about yourself.
You want to feel good.
Right.
And
oh, yeah.
Tucking my shirt in was definitely not on the top of my feel good about myself list.
No.
So, but you know what? It's all. I don't dress horrible these days, but I'm definitely more comfy.
And I don't, I mean, I still do the all black thing, which I like. And then after a while, you're like, oh my God, I look in your closet and you hate it all.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, oh my God, I miss it all.
I miss it. You miss all your black.
I miss all that black.
Well, I usually wear, but the problem, I guess the philosophy behind that is that when you get bleach on it, you can cover it up with a Sharpie.
Yeah, Sharpie. I've had plenty of clothes that I've Sharpied.
But I just get so...
it's kind of boring. It all looks the same.
Yeah, and unfortunately, hairdressing ruins all your clothes.
It does. So, you know, I love jeans, and I like nice jeans, but it's like you go to buy them. You're like, I don't want to wear those to work. I'm going to ruin them.
Right, exactly.
As soon as I get the bleach out, well, it's going to go all over myself.
There was a time I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to wear that to work.
Yeah,
I'd
be, like it. Just be feel careful. Good at it.
And then bleach gets on.
Or you wear
ruined.
An awesome pair of shoes, and you're like, I swear to God, if I drip color on these, they're ruined. I'll be going to be really ticked.
Is that what happens?
Yeah. Gets in the leather.
Oof.
Done.
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 I've done that. I actually dropped some bleach on a cool pair of shoes I had
I
and
know.
Wrecked them.
Awful.
And you wipe it off and rub it with water.
You try.
And then the next day, it's just rotten.
I think it was Gala when I first started. She's like, spray some hairspray on it. It stops the oxidation. I don't know if that works.
Is that true? Because I say that to this day.
I do
too. Puts hairspray on it.
Somebody did that recently. I'm like, get the hairspray out. I'm like, what?
It's like the Windex.
Yeah, put some Windex on it.
Spray with some Windex. It'll fix it.
That's right. Get the hairspray out.
So let's how's your running going? Because you're a crazy runner.
It's going good. I mean, I had surgery back in January.
Yeah, well, we were going to try to do this podcast, and I think we had to postpone it because you were going to have surgery.
So I had sinus surgery.
Sinus?
Sinus.
On your nose?
Uh-huh, and my deviated septum, so my nose had to be broke.
Ugh.
So that kind of put my running on hold.
Did you get a nose job at the same time? Let me see. Really? Because
it looks the same.
Okay, I was going to say. Your nose wasn't bad.
It wasn't horrible, but I can see where he fixed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. Whatever.
Breaking news. No pun intended.
I know, right? So I had to wait for that to heal. But that was a killer. When you're used to working out and...
How was that? Was that surgery... Were you awake for it?
No, I was knocked out. It was a couple hours.
Okay.
Yeah, and then when you're done, they pack you with these long plastic things up your nose. I had a cast on my nose for a week.
So you really needed to kind of check out and hide out for a while.
I did. I couldn't. I took off for a full... week of work. And I probably should have taken off like a couple days after because when I went back, just that standing and pressure, I didn't look so hot.
Does it feel better?
Yeah, I can breathe a
you
lot couldn't better.
Breathe before?
I could not. My nose was closed off completely on the one side.
It's funny. That's kind of how I feel like it's kind of how I check myself for being sick. I'm like, Like at night, I practice breathing like, through my nose.
Yeah.
And it's weird because like you can kind of tilt over. I didn't realize there was so much kind of play in your sinuses.
Right.
Because you can lean over and it kind of clogs. So
yes.
I've been paying more attention to my nose.
I know.
Well, yours looks great. So
hey, thanks. So that kind of put a damper in my running for a small bit.
What happened to get you? Were you having trouble? Were you keeping Matt up at night snoring? What was going on?
No, it wasn't even that. Last year at this time, I was having some heart issues, like dizziness and everything. So I had to go see the cardiologist. I went through all these tests and had to wear a heart monitor. And he finally was like, I think it could be your sinuses. Like, I do have a heart issue, but he's like, I don't think that is...
Don't we all?
I know. Stress. I don't think that is related to this feeling dizzy. Because I could be standing behind the chair and it would just come out of the blue and hit me.
Right.
And it's awful. That feeling is terrible.
Yeah.
So I went to the ENT and my sinuses were impacted.
Oh, geez.
I know.
And so that now, what did you notice like a difference when you, after you had that done? Have you run since you've had it done?
Oh, yeah. I've been running a lot.
And it's been helping?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I can definitely, I can breathe.
Right.
Which is crazy.
And you couldn't breathe through your nose before?
No. I mean, when they take all that packing out and they tell you to take a deep breath, like, oh my God, is this what it, this is crazy.
Yeah.
This is what it's like to be able to breathe.
Get a good deep breath. Sometimes when I run, I'll be like, I'm just going to breathe through my nose. I'm just going to try to breathe through my nose.
I know.
And you're like,
and
I can't do it.
You can't do it. No. No,
I'm not a badass.
No, it's hard.
It's hard.
It is hard. So even like after having that surgery and starting all over again, you're like, oh, crap. Because you know how it is when you run. You, like, work yourself up to a certain mileage. You're like, I don't want to stop. I don't want to lose it. Then you got to start
all over.
It sucks. It's awful.
I'm struggling. Well, and then
it's awful.
And then we're, you know, we keep getting older. You know, I was telling, I ran with my buddy Carlos. And
yeah.
I've always just been about a five-mile run guy. I mean, there was a time where I was really, I always say if you're, and maybe not everybody, but a lot of people,
right.
Like, you know, these crazy running people,
mm-hmm.
you know, something probably sad going on. And I remember when I was at the peak of my running, I was struggling in relationships and
right.
I was very, you know, just, mm-hmm. I just escaped in the running.
Right.
And it makes you feel better about yourself.
It does.
And
right.
so I was just, you know, I was maybe doing a 9 mile run every mm-hmm. once in a while, but I could definitely go out and run. And I got happy, I guess, again. And I kind of fallen away from maybe just down to one run a week.
Sure.
And we ran yesterday. I ran with my buddy Carlos, and we did 5 miles. But I couldn't run. I used to tell him I used to be able to run this, and now I just have to lower my goals and just say let's try to get to the rail and then walk a little bit.
And that's okay.
Yeah, and it's fine. It's just being out there. But it is important, man.
It is. I mean, when I went through the business stuff, yeah. I needed to find something.
Well, I always say you're not living unless you're suffering.
Mm, and I agree with that.
Running, you know, there's that bridge on the Junction Trail. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've run by it, where you kind of just it opens up and you cross the bridge and you're looking down the marsh and it's this amazing, beautiful view. And I always say like I could wake up on that bridge and stand up and go, wow, that's pretty. But when I run to it, not only is it beautiful, but I feel like I'm capable of doing anything.
That's right. Yeah, it takes you to another place. It's your mental,
state. There's a wall of like self-centered fear that kind of goes up around us. And suffering, running, you know, even admitting it. I'm suffering or I'm scared or I'm nervous. Even that, just that vocal admission sometimes brings that wall down. And then you're like, okay, like, just, you know, when you share a fear or something, like maybe with your mom, and you're like, you know, I'm really nervous or scared about this.
Sure.
And then once you say it and you find the humility to share it, you suffer the embarrassment of whatever we create that stops us from doing
it.
And then all of a sudden we're like, okay, I think I can get through this.
Like, I can get through this. I mean, I've had people say to me before, oh, how could you be down or whatever? I'm like, you know what? A smile can cover up a lot.
Right. Well, we're always, I'll speak for me. I'm never good enough. You know, I'm never successful enough. I'm never, you know, I'm just lucky. People, I remember I had, you know, you remember Matt. So Matt, great Matt.
Yes.
I mean, the guy was just awesome.
Yeah.
And he calls, he has me come over one day and he's like, can you come over? And I was like, yeah, what's up? So, you know, I'm helping him. He's that night he's going to receive the James Beard Award.
I remember.
Beard Award, right?
Wow.
And I'm helping him pick out a tie, and he's like, you know, let's go for a walk. And I'm like, we've never walked. So we're walking, and he goes, you know, some days I just feel like they're going to figure out that I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Mm.
Like, yeah. What?
Like, what do you mean?
So, I mean, we all, the greatest of the greats even,
yes.
I think.
Yes, struggle.
That. Yeah. And
you struggle inside.
You struggle inside, and I think that's what, you know, running, I always say, the first mile, you know, I kill everybody that I hate.
Yeah.
And then, like, the second mile, you know, I'm standing over their bodies.
Uh-huh.
And then the third and fourth mile, I'm apologizing that I killed you.
Like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, and then by the fifth mile, I've kind of worked it all out where I don't need to kill them anymore.
Like, we're good now.
Yeah.
Right.
And running for me, you know, it makes me a poet, a singer.
Sometimes, don't you think, like, if somebody looked at me,
yeah,
they were like, what is wrong with her?
And the funny thing is, you don't care.
I don't care.
No.
No, I'll sing. Who cares?
I figure out whatever. Movies. I'm going to write a movie. I'm going to write a book.
Well, I've always said I wanted to write a book.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what would I say? How would it start?
Well, I thought about, I wanted to write a book called Checking My Me Pressure.
There you go.
Well, because it's, you know, we go to the doctor and they take your blood pressure. Mm-hmm. They check your sugar. They check your
all
your
that.
Fat. But do they check your, you know, I believe that there's a balance between self and humility.
Right.
You know, if we're living a life of self constantly, mm-hmm. just me, 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 it's a miserable existence. You're getting what you want, but you're not having any humility in your life.
No, and I agree with that. Like, I've always gone through, even in our business, it's like you never want to say, wow, I'm awesome, because you'll have that one person call and say, I hate my hair.
Yeah.
And then you feel like you're terrible.
A loser.
Right. That kills you. You could have one person tell you that and it just kills you.
Well, and I think that's kind of going to be, you know, the people that figure that out, find some humility. Like when we finally get the green light to start opening up, you know.
Right.
Find some humility that, you know, I don't have to do everybody at the same time. I can take, you know, I don't need to make as much money as I was making.
Right.
Let me just get going. I can only speak for myself, but you know, I'm going to probably have to work different days,
sure,
like on Sundays, and just
right.
to find some humility and just kind of grind it out and try to rebuild again.
Yeah. But just what you said, checking your me pressure. That's true.
Yeah. Well, that's me.
Yeah. And like I said, a smile can hide a lot, you know.
Yeah.
Or what I think about myself.
Well, exactly. I know that it's a. I didn't figure that out until I was between 40 and 50.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of where these, you know, if I always say, if you're going to go to that fork in the road, and if you're going to choose the side that says what I want or what I should do.
Yeah.
I mean, for a long time I chose what I wanted.
Right.
And not what I should be doing. And it's just, it's like having kids. You know, when you first have your first child, you're like, oh my God. And you're still living a life of not having a kid, right?
Right.
And then, but you have this life with a kid.
Uh-huh.
And you're trying to keep a foot in both. And you're like, God damn it, I got to do this. And I got
to
do this.
I have to.
I got to feed the baby.
Yes.
I got to change the baby. And until you pull that, surrender that foot out of the life of that single life and realize that these are things that you get to do.
Yeah.
And then you can start enjoying it.
It's a gift. It is a gift.
Sitting down this morning with your daughter and helping her with school, this is something you get to do.
Absolutely.
So if it's something you have to do, it's not a fun existence.
No, it's not. And then you just have to look at it like, okay, we're going to get through this. We're going to do it. We're going to bang it out.
Yeah.
You know, the rest of the day.
Yeah. And then you get to have me off your back.
That's right. I know. I said the one thing. I said I will be a little sad when it all goes back, because I do work a lot, and
yeah,
you know, Kennedy, you know, I'll miss her during the day.
Well, that's the same thing. I'm actually really blessed. I have great kids and they're fun and they keep me moving, and you know, can we throw the football? I'm like, I get to throw the football.
It's that fork, yes, in the road.
Let's go.
Fork in the road.
Yeah. Yeah, fork in the road.
Fork in the road.
Couch or yard? Couch or yard. I guess I'll take the yard.
Because they're only little once.
They are only little once.
They're only little once.
I think that's one of the fun things about having kids is they can be one way, and then the following week they can be different.
Oh, absolutely.
They're just constantly growing.
They are.
Changing, and it's just, I don't know, it's a total blessing.
And one day they won't want to be with
us. How
come
you didn't have any more? What's wrong with you guys?
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, I don't personally want to know why, but I mean, did you guys just, one was enough?
One was good. And, you know, I feel the guilt of working so much. Matt's hours are crazy. And it's like, oh, I don't think I could do that to another little person. I love kids, though.
We won't talk about Matt, but how's that going? What's this community like are we behaving?
Everyone is behaving themselves.
That's good.
Apparently crime is down from what I hear.
Crime is down
and they're not to be stopping people, you know, just keeping their...
They will stop your ass. Don't even think they won't.
They will. I mean, and especially if you're out of state, don't even think about it.
Yeah, what was that? Well, that's...
Oh, my God.
When I was talking about a little bit about how the beaches might look, because really that's our draw, right?
That is. That's our revenue here.
If we went to the summer, opened up, and let's say they said the beaches are closed for the summer. Right. So clearly people aren't going to... Because I think that's... That to me seems like the weird part. Like if we open up, not only are we opening up our work, but we're opening up the floodgates for the people to come down.
And you and I aren't really affected by that because our clients are year round. They're here.
Right.
But the restaurants, like you said, the hotel, all that.
Right.
Our grocery stores. They all come.
I tried to get some paper towels this morning. I couldn't get any paper towels.
And that's when you see all those cars from out of state, you're like, stop taking my paper towels and my Clorox wipes.
Stop taking them. It's my stuff. Well, I just got 97 rolls of toilet paper. It might be 2-ply.
There you go, y'all. You heard it. You're coming here.
Hey, listen, I'll tell you right now, Tom's if anybody got needs it. Toilet paper, I'll give you some for free. One roll.
And then after that, $2 a roll.
No,
I'm just kidding.
Jess. Capitalist.
Just well, listen, to make you some money.
I appreciate you coming on. I really wanted to have you on because I adore you. I think you and your husband and your family are amazing. And we talked about Robin and your dad. I mean, just
right.
You just come from a great line of folks, and you've been a great friend. And
thank you.
I don't know if I would be. I may be where I'm at. I just might not do it as well.
Aww.
If I didn't have you as an inspiration.
Well, thank you. That makes me feel good
in my career. So
this was fun.
Urban Float. Go see Jess at Urban Float. She's
Urban Float.
I mean, Urban Studios. I said that yesterday too. I go, yeah, Jess is coming from Urban Float. He's like, Urban Float? I'm Urban Float. I go, I mean Urban Studio.
It's okay, Tom.
Sorry, that's Urban. Urban Studio.
Urban Studio.
Sorry. You can float there.
You can float.
You'll float out with amazing
You'll float
hair.
Out with good hair. There you go.
Yeah, go check her
float
out.
Float in, float out.
How's it? How do you like that location? Has it been good?
Yeah, it's been great.
You're right in the thick of it.
Right in the thick of it.
Does traffic, but is it traffic an issue?
Oh, yeah. Now, Saturdays, that's another story.
I'm out of here by 11 on Saturdays.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, I still start by 8. And then, well, this summer could be different because who knows how it's going to be. But, I mean, sometimes I'll cut out of there by noon.
Yeah.
Because it's just backed up.
Well, and you almost don't want to I don't want to work till past noon, but
yeah, right.
I don't want people to have to come out here past noon either.
It's true.
It gets a little crazy.
And you said earlier, you know how things change. Oh my God. Remember when we used to work until like 6 on a Saturday? What the hell? Your whole weekend's gone.
You were a slave driver.
Slave driver.
I worked for you till 6 on a Saturday. That's crazy.
Freaking crazy. Crazy.
Is Jess here? No. Okay, good. Did she leave? We're all out of here.
We're all out. Everybody out.
It's funny. You leave and all the car lights light up when you leave.
Oh, my God. Everybody roll it out. Roll the carpets up.
Well, listen, I appreciate you.
Yeah, it's been fun.
I appreciate you coming on. And
yeah, we'll have to do it again.
Yeah. Listen, the door is always open. If you want to talk about anything, you got any fundraisers, any tchotchke stuff you want to sell, you want to come chat about it, come and hang out.
You know, I have been cleaning out a lot.
Well, I see you got the queen of tchotchkes over there with you, your mom. Because I follow her, too. And she's,
Lord.
She's got some tchotchke stuff she's pushing right now. I'm like, uh-oh.
She's been in her basement trying to, like, dig herself.
I love your mom. She's the only person I know that still has, like, these cool rhinestones on her butts of her jeans. Hair on point.
Oh, my God.
Clothes on point. She's
always working on something.
She's a hustler.
She's a hustler. And wait until we open, because she's got 50,000 pairs of earrings that she's made.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does she have a website?
No. She just promotes herself on Instagram and through Facebook.
What's her Instagram?
She's Salty Soul Design.
Salty or Salty?
Salty.
Salty Soul.
Salty Soul.
Say that 10 times. Salty Soul Design on Instagram. Check her out, because she's got a lot of cool stuff.
She does, and her earrings are on point.
And I will tell you, you guys have always been that way. You have really, you're like, you can set little trends.
Oh, absolutely. We try.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to get your mom on. Maybe, you know, it'd be fun if we could get, maybe one day we get like Drexel and you, and I don't know if we all still get along. Hopefully.
Absolutely.
We do. But it'd be fun to maybe get.
Listen, you should see these photos I was pulling up.
Well, you know what? That might be fun to maybe bring in the photos, and we'll bring in Drexel. I've reached out to him. He was struggling with his mom for a while.
Right.
So he had a lot. He was struggling with his brother. And I think he's taking care of his mom. So he's got a lot on his plate.
Right.
But I think if we maybe got a few people together, maybe.
Oh, it could be fun.
Yeah.
We'll throw Robin in this mix.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, it would be fun to get your mom on here. We can talk earrings.
Oh, my God. Earrings.
Earrings.
Earrings and tchotchkes.
Earrings and tchotchkes. All right, Jess. Well, listen, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And
this is fun.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
All right, bye.
Thanks. Bye.